holding on Chof Amud Beis, beginning the third parak. Till now, we've been talking about the formulas for Nedarim, which formulas actually work to create a Neder, which ones don't. Now we're going to be shifting a little bit, Tosfos explains. We're going to be talking about where the formula is fine, but in order for a neder to be valid, it has to be piv v'libo shavin. It has to be that what he's saying and what he's thinking both match. In other words, that he actually intends to make a neder. So now we're going to be talking about where a person uses the proper words for a neder, but he doesn't have in mind, for one reason or another, to create a valid neder. And the Mishnah is going to tell us that such things are not considered nedarim. The Mishnah says, "Arba nedarim hitiru chachamim." There are four kinds of nedarim that the chachamim said are mutter, meaning sout. Now, on the face of it, mutter means they don't need ataras nedarim. We're going to discuss that further on Chof Aleph Amud Beis and see whether, in fact, that is the case. But even if we say that they are mutter, even if we say they don't need ataras nedarim, the Ran brings further on from Tesefta, nevertheless, you're not allowed to make such nedarim. All we're saying is, if a person makes one of these four kinds of nedarim, then we don't hold them to it. We learned in the previous parak, there was a distinction with certain kinds of non-nedarim. We made a distinction between Talmud Chacham and Nama Oretz, where we said a Talmud Chacham will be more lenient with because he knows that they're not really a neder, and Nama Oretz, who doesn't really know. And then we said, we're machmer on him, and we try to find him a different Pesach. So there is, in fact, over here, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Ahar says the same distinction would hold true over here. Most other Rishonim don't bring that idea. Anyway, the four Nedarim are Nidre Ziruzin, number one, a Neder to be Mizariz, to encourage the other person to compromise, as we're going to see the examples in our Mishnah. We're going to see. We're talking about, for example, the kind of neder that a person would make while they're bargaining over an object, while they're bargaining over buying and selling an object, where people are likely to make a neder. They're not necessarily saying flat out, I won't buy it for more. They do say that during the bargaining, but they're not necessarily, we don't necessarily hold them to that, as we'll see in our Mishnah. Zeros in like Lashon Zoris, like to encourage the other person to get the other person to see things your way, basically. The second one is the Nidre Havai. The second one is Nidorim of exaggeration. The Ran brings up the word Havai. So first of all, the Ran says Havai really means She'enei Klum. It's not really anything. It's an exaggerated neder. And he brings from Targum where a phrase in a pasuk in Yeshayas, Shomer Vashayas, which describes a field that's empty and full of thorns and weeds or whatever, is translated Havai Ubur. So Havai basically means empty. So in the Gemara, usually when we talk about something that's Havai, we usually mean something that's exaggerated. So that's what it means over here, Nedarim of exaggeration. We'll see examples of that later in the parak. Then the Nidre Shgogos, where a person made a neder and he was shogig, he didn't realize, for example, that he had already done the thing or whatever. And the fourth one, the Nidre Onsin, the fourth one is a neder of oines, as we're going to have later. So we're going to illustrate all of these as we go through the parak. Nidre oinsin is basically where a person is being forced to make a neder by a tax collector or something like that, and he has in mind at the time that it's not going to be a fully valid neder. So in all these cases, we have in all these cases, you don't have piv v'libo shavim. You don't have that his mouth that said the actual correct formula of a neder and his heart, which did not actually intend to make a neder, are not in sync. And therefore, we're saying that those don't count as nedarim. So the first one, nidre, is
one question.
What? Yeah.
One question. Why don't we say the same thing about a get? And a get, we force him whether he's lev is like he's thinking or not.
Because the difference is that a get... Because the difference is when a husband is required to give a get up yalacha, then if the chachamim are telling him he has to do that, therefore that's a mitzvah on him, and if he doesn't listen, then they can force him. A neder, after all, is a voluntary thing. once he made the neder, we're going to hold him to it. But the point is, we're saying that to begin with, the actual neder itself, to begin with, over here, was not meant to be a neder, and therefore it's not a mitzvah in the first place. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Nidre Zeruzin Ketzad. What is the example of Nidre Zeruzin? Hoya Moichel Chayfet. Suppose a person, Reuven, was selling an object. The Omar, so he says, in the bargaining, Koinam She'eni Poiches L'cham in a seller. A Koinam that I won't lower the price lower than a seller. Now, a seller is 4 dinarim. So he's saying, I won't go below a seller. What kind of koinam is he saying? So the Ram says he's saying that if I sell it for any less than that, then the money that I get for it will be koinam, will be off limits to me. The Rosh and also the Rashba talk about that. What he means is, for example, that he says a side thing, a koinam, that these payers will be also to me if I sell you this for less than a seller. Shimon says, koinam she'eni moisef l'chal shekel, a koinam that I won't add more than a shekel, which is a half a sum. So neither neder is chal, shneim roitzin b'shloisha dinrim. We assume that both of them to begin with are willing to sell and to buy respectively for 3 dinarim. So in other words, when Reuven said I won't sell it less than a seller, he didn't really mean that I absolutely will not sell it for less than a seller. He just meant, don't be reasonable over here. Don't say you're going to pay only a shekel. Be willing to compromise on 3, and vice versa. So therefore, the neder is not chal. So now, usually there is a concept called dvarim shemalev enim dvarim. Usually in halacha, we say if a person says something and he has in mind something else, usually that something else is not valid. So let's say, for example, you even have in connection with gittin. Suppose a husband is giving his wife a get, and meanwhile, mentally, he's thinking he has reservations about it. It doesn't really matter because, the fact is, he's saying Hareyat Mutar, he's writing Hareyat Mutaris Macholadim, he's giving her and saying Harey Zegitech, so we don't really care what Dvarim Shabalev there are involved over there. Similarly, in many other areas of Halach. But here, the Ran explains that again, given the Mishnah is saying Shneim Rotzim B'Shloisha Dinrim, we know, it's almost like a non-sadi, we can testify that both of them, to begin with, had in mind 3 dinarim, and that's what they're going to end up selling and buying for, respectively, and therefore they never meant to create a valid neder that should be on any more or any on any more than 2 dinarim or any less than 4.
One said, I'm not going to sell less than 3.
So one said, I won't sell it for less than 4 dinarim, and the other said, I won't buy it for more than 2 dinarim.
So stuck in between.
So they're in between, right? So this is not an example of people. That's not an example of dvarim shabalev in dvarim, because again, we can tell what they really were meaning. With that said, though, the Ran brings over here from the Yerushalmi that you can have a case where a person is mamidim divrehem. Where in fact, so like this, what we're describing in the Mishnah is typical bargaining tactics. He's saying, I won't sell it for less than a seller, but really he's willing to accept 3 dinarim. But suppose that he's mamid, he says, definitively, I absolutely will not sell it for less than a seller, and if you offer me less than that, I'm not going to sell it to you. Or even, for example, so they say, so the guy says, okay, you know, I'm willing to offer 3. And the woman says, forget about it. I'm not taking the 3. It's 4 or nothing. That's called mamid. Then we would say that now if he makes a neder, he's not going to sell it for less than 4. Then that's a valid neder. Because now he's showing it's not just a bargaining tactic. Now it really is. He will not accept less than 4.
What's the lesson?
The difference is, in other words, that no, it's not a question of the lashon. It's a question of how do we see how he's behaving in the bargaining over here. Is he saying to begin with? Is he opening the thing and saying a koinam, I won't sell it for less than a seller, for less than 4 dinarim? And the other guy says I'm willing to offer 2, a koinam that I won't buy it for more than 2. Fine, we can say that's typical bargaining. Right. And eventually, when they end up with 3, then fine. Not but if fair. You have, for example, one or both of them are mamid, that he says bedavka, I absolutely take it or leave it. This is the price, and I'm not going down. Then that's different. so Then he brings also from the Yerushalmi that, now what happens if one of them is Mamid? What happens if, for example, suppose that Reuven has something for sale. Shimon and Levi both come to bargain for it. So to one of them, he says, I absolutely will not sell it for less than a sell. The other one he's willing to bargain with. So then we say, and he makes a koinam, he makes a neder to both of them. Then we say, once it's bottled to one, and then it's bottled to the other one as well.
As long as they're both there together.
So let's say, for example, he makes a neder to Shimon, to you, I absolutely will not sell it for less than a seller, and even if you offer me three dinner, I'm not taking it. As opposed to Levi, he says, I'm not mamid. A koinam, I won't sell it to you less than a seller for dinarim, but he seems to be willing to bargain. So then the fact that, or we may not be talking about actually two separate koinamos, because then each one would stand on its own. We're saying, suppose generically he said, a koinam that I won't sell for less than a seller, but then we see that he's willing to bargain with Levi and he's not willing to bargain with Shimon. Then we would say, once the neder is bottle as far as Levi, then it's bottle as far as Shimon as well. One more point that the Ran says is, now, suppose that, suppose we have, going back to the case of our Mishnah, so suppose that they're not Mahmud, suppose that he's not actually standing on it and saying, I positively won't sell for less than four, he is willing to take three after all. Would he be allowed to sell it for two? Or vice versa, would the other guy be allowed to buy it for four? After all, the Mishnah is saying, Shneim Reitzim B'Shloish Dinrin, so maybe then, Reuven, the seller, he would like four for it, he's willing to accept three, but at least we can say that therefore his neder was not a neder going down to three, but to go all the way down to two, to where, which the other guy offered, maybe not. And vice versa with Shimon, if he ends up paying four, can he do that, given that he made a neder? So the Ran brings two opinions about that.
In other words, he wouldn't be able to get more.
So the question is, Reuven is saying, I'll sell it to you for not less than four. And a koinam if I sell it for less than four. Shimon said, a koinam if I buy it for more than two. So the Mishnah said they eventually, we can assume they're going to compromise on three. But what happens now if, can Reuven, having made this koinam, can he say, you know what, fine, I'm willing to sell it to you for two? Is he allowed to do that? Or would we say, to that extent, his neder is chal? His neder is not chal, that it has to be four. We accept that he could have meant three as well, but not less than three. So the Ran brings two opinions on that. And the result is, there are two opinions brought about it in Shulchan Aruch. The Bach says, that Kim Dumani, he says, it seems to me that the Olam is noyig to be makel on that. Mashach and Mataz both bring that it's acceptable to be makel on that, according to the second opinion that the Ran brings over here.
That's less than people do in their life.
Right.
So no, there's no.
So therefore, so there's no koinam, right? So the Gemara starts off. Abar nedarim mitiru chachamim. We said that. So there are four nedarim that the chachamim were matter, and the first one is nidre zeruzin, what we just described, this kind of neder. Yeah, it's called zeruzin meloshin zoris. No, meloshin zoris, like you're trying to encourage the other person to see things your way and then compromise with you.
So zoris means to do quick.
It's related. When a person, you're saying to do something quick, like to be eager to do it. Yeah, zrizus really means like eagerness, like be eager to buy this thing from me and not insist on the price that you insisted on. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Abba bar Memel or Rav Ami. So now Rav Abba bar Memel asked Rav Ami, Amrit lon mishmeder Rav Yehuda Nasiya. Now you told us in the name of Rav Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rav Yehuda Hanasi, the author of the Mishnah. You told us man tana arbon nedarim Rav Yehuda. It's not really a question. It's a statement. You told us previously in the name of Rav Yehuda Nasiya that who was the tana of our Mishnah arbon nedarim Rav Yehuda, the Amar Mishum Rav Tavron. That would be specifically according to Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav Tavron, which we learned in the previous parak. We had examples where a person makes a Nezirus al Tnai, where, for example, your people are standing over there, they see somebody coming in the distance, and one of them says, I bet that guy is a Nazir, and if he is, then I will be a Nazir, and the other one says, I bet it's not a Nazir, and if he isn't a Nazir, then I'll be a Nazir. And we said that Rav Tavron says, so you actually have, we're going to learn in the Masechta Nazir a few months from now, Bez Hashem, you actually have a three-way machloek about that. You have Beis Shammai hold that both of them become Nazirim, both Reuven and Shimon, even though one of their conditions didn't come true. The Tillel says, no, only whichever one's condition came true. If the guy, it's a guy who's approaching is a Nazir, then Reuven is a Nazir, and if not, then Shimon is a Nazir.
I said,
if he disappeared, then that's something else. Right. But anyway. So then Rav Tarfon says, so Rav Yehuda says in the name of Tarfon, La'olam ein echem mehen nazir, never is either one of them a nazir, L'pisho enit nezirus elol haflah, because nezirus is only given for haflah, meaning that you have to state it clearly, because the pasuk says, by a nazir, ishki yafli lidna neder nazir, and the word yafli means to state clearly. So we learned in the previous parak that Rav Tarfon holds that a nezirus that's made on a tnai is not a valid nezirus. So it doesn't matter whether his tnai came true or not. By the same token, he's going to say, the Ran and the Rosh point out, and Tosfos, that we learned all the way back at the beginning of the Masechta that there was a hekesh between nezirus and other kinds of nedarim. So to a certain extent, we learned dinim of other nedarim from nezirus and of nezirus from other nedarim. And therefore, we talked about that at the beginning of the Masechta. So therefore, in that case, if Rav Tarfon holds that Kiyafli applies to Nezirus, he's going to hold it applies to regular Nedarim as well. Therefore, Nedarim, like we said, therefore, that is why the Nedarim, like the ones in our Mishnah, are not going to be valid Nedarim. Because he's not definitively taking the Nedar on himself. But in other words, apparently the Chachamim would disagree. Now, one thing is, the Mephoshim do point out, Rav Tarfon would agree. Now, you have, for example, in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, that Yaakov makes a neder al tonight. Im ye elikimim modi, if Hashem will be with me and guard me and give me lechem lechel, beggar lilbush, and so on and so forth, then, v'ha'evin hazoysesh santi matzeva. So we see that that was a neder al tonight. So they explain, Rav Tarfon would agree if a person makes a neder because he's in an eis tzara, because he's in a time of trouble. Bechlal, when we talked about before, earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to talk about further today and tomorrow, that's the Shem, that making a neder is not really the best thing to do. It would be better if a person needs to ask for something for himself. He should just do it voluntarily without taking a neder. But it's different when a person makes a neder be'es tzara, to give tzedakah, or in Yaakov's case, to set up a stone over there and make it the cornerstone of the Mishmikdash, and so forth. That's fine. And Rav Tarfon would be fine even with a neder al tnai in a case like that. But other than that, no. So therefore, sort of Abba by Mamel is saying that you've told us then that our Mishnah is only according to one Tana, only according to Rav Tarfon's opinion as given over to us by Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara continues, Rava Omar. Rava says, no, after the Tamer Abbanam. No, you could actually say that our Mishnah even goes according to the Chachamim. You're assuming, Rav Abba Bar Memel, that the reason behind our Mishnah is because of this matter of haflah. The person has to clearly state that he wants to take on the nether without conditions or without anything like that. No, the reason is something else, because, the Chachamim figured out, as we said before, that this is an example of, that's not piv v'libay shavim, that is, his mouth and his heart are not in sync in terms of what he said. So Rava says, mikatani shneim rasu, after all, the expression in the Mishnah is not that they both wanted to now. In other words, we would understand that at the end they're both willing to compromise on three. And then we would say, in other words, so when, for example, when Reuven made the neder, I won't sell it for less than a seller, four dinarim, he actually sincerely meant to not go below four. And only afterwards he's saying, you know what, then I'm not going to end up selling this thing. Fine, I'm willing to compromise on three. But that's not what the Mishnah says Rava. The expression in the Mishnah is they both want, implying that all along they wanted, he was willing to sell for three. So it's not that he to begin with was demanding four, because he's hoping the other guy will buy it for four. But he really, to begin with, had in mind that he's willing to sell it for three. So therefore, it's a matter of, again, this matter of piv deliberate or not shoving, and therefore that's why the Mishnah is saying that it's not a valid neder. And the Ran adds another point as well. According to the Abba Bar Memel's Havam, and this is specifically according to the Tarfon, now we could make a certain distinction. We could say, you know, in the case, for example, you have Reuven and Shimon standing there, and they see somebody coming in the distance. That somebody either is a Nazir or isn't a Nazir. So there's no two ways about it. So then, Rav Tarfon is saying that, so then Reb Tarfon is saying, listen, the fact of the matter is there's no way you can say that both of them are right. If necessarily one of them has to be right and one is wrong, the guy who's coming is either a nazir or not. And therefore, Reb Tarfon says, since nazirus is not chal on one, it's not chal on the other one either. When you get down to Or Mishnah, in the case of Or Mishnah, if we say, if Reuven says, I demand a seller, and Shimon says, I'll only pay a shekel, and they end up compromising on three dinar, neither one's neder came true. So all them, because the fact is that neither one of them said three. One said four, one said two. Therefore, all the more so, Reb Tarfon would say that, that those are not valid nedarim. So again, that was according to the Habam, you know, that the Mishnah is only according to Reb Tarfon, then we would say, because we make a Kavu Choymer from that case where he says, where one or the other of them is right, compared to an Or Mishnah, the fact is neither of them are right, because the transaction ended up taking place for three dinner, which neither of them had said. One had said four, one had said two.
And the other cases?
In the other case, one or the other of them ends up being correct. The guy coming in their direction is a nazir, or the guy coming in their direction is not a nazir. And even then, the Tarfon is saying that neither one is a nazir. Even
that reason is a flaw.
That's the point. In other words, that the Ran is making the point that, if the Mishnah was according to the Tarfon, then why would it have to say Shneim Rotsim B'Shloisha Dinarin? Why can't it just say, it doesn't matter, the same way as over there, it would say that neither one is a nazir, because no afar. The Mishnah could have said, even if he does end up selling it for four, or even if he does end up buying it for two, then it would still be not be a valid neder. And the point is, the Rambam says, because the Mishnah wants to stress that it's a kavu choymer. If even in that other case, from Tarfon says it's not a valid nezirus, how much more so over here, where neither one got what they wanted, because one wanted four, the other one was willing to pay only two, and they end up with three, so neither of them, Or rather the other way around. You would think that maybe since both of them are over on their Tanai, maybe at least it should be a valid neder. So therefore the Mishnah is telling us according to Reb Tarfon that not. But again, the Rava says you don't even need that. You could make our Mishnah work according to the Chachamim as well, because it's not a matter of a flaw. It's a matter of that to begin with, we know that all along they were willing to do three. Okay. So now the next question is,
we're just trying to figure out
who our Mishnah is like, right? Right. And the point of it would be, if our Mishnah was like Reb Tarfon, then the Mishnah and the Halacha would not be like it. Because the Halacha, in that case, of the two people standing over there and one person coming in the distance, the Halacha is not like Reb Tarfon. So then the result would be the Halacha wouldn't be like our Mishnah either. Or vice versa, maybe we would say because our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, then the Halacha would be like it, and then the Halacha would have to be like Reb Tarfon in the case of the two people watching the person come. But now that Rava is telling us that no, our Mishnah can go according to the Chachamim, then all of that is set aside. We can still say the Halacha is not like Reb Tarfon, and still the Halacha can be like our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara continues, Amale Ravina L'Ravashi. Amale Tfei Misela. What about if, now in our Mishnah we're talking about where Reuven is saying, I'm willing to sell it for a seller, and Shimon says, I'm only willing to pay a half a seller, two dinarim. What if to begin with, Reuven had said more than a seller, v'halom v'tzir mishekel, and the other one says less than a shekel. So now, the Ran gives two explanations. One is that more than a set. So one explanation is the Ram's first explanation is that more than a seller means a seller and a pruta, and then less than a shekel would mean two would be two dinarim minus a pruta. So would we say nidra havi or zeruzin havi? Would that be considered a real full fledged neder or only zeruzin? What would be the reason? Because if we see that each one of them is getting down to the pruta level, then maybe they actually mean that price and that's it, take it or leave it. Or maybe not. Even in a case like that, we can still say that we figure they're willing to compromise. That's the Ram's first explanation. His second explanation is that it doesn't even mean a pruta. More than a seller would mean five dinarim, a whole nother dinner. Less than a shekel would mean one dinner. So then we would say maybe they're very far apart. When they begin relatively close to each other, four and two respectively, then we can say that maybe they both to begin with intended three. But when they're so far apart to begin with, five versus one, maybe we wouldn't call that nidre zeruzin, because you don't expect that they're going to end up compromising on something which is going to be mutually acceptable that both of them had in mind in the first place. So those are the two explanations in the Ram. So what is it? Amalei, sort of Ashi answers, Tanena. We can answer it from a Mishnah later on in our Masechta. Suppose that one person is pleading with the other person to eat by him. It's a Gemara word that means like to be pleading with somebody, importuning him, please, please, please come and eat by me, and he's nudging, I guess you could say. So Reuben is nudging Shimon to eat by him. But Omaloi, and Shimon says, Koinam Besi Shani Nichnas, a Koinam on your house that if I go into it, meaning if I go into your house, then it should be also to me Bahana like Koinam, like a Korban. Or any drop of even cold drink that I would drink by you should be also. The fact is, mutter likonis the base, velishkas hemenu. He will actually be mutter to go into the guy's house, and he will be allowed velishkas hemenu tsoinen, and to drink some cold, a cold drink over there. Because when he made that neder, this is sort of an example of nidre zeruzin, that he only meant that he won't eat and drink a full meal over there. But to go in there and have a drop to drink, have a glass of cold water, that he never meant to assertion himself. Now, the Rambam seems to say that nevertheless, Itaka would be also to eat a full meal over there. The Rosh says not even. Once we say that he didn't mean that he won't go into the house at all, and he didn't really mean that he won't drink a drink at all, then in fact, he would actually be mutter to eat and drink there as well. There's no valid neder at all. According to the Rambam, it would be a valid neder as far as the attacker can't go in there and eat and drink a full meal, but nevertheless, he could actually go in there just to have a glass of cold water or something.
Why do we then say a glass of water?
So that's because in other words, tsoinin, just to drink cold water or something, is not really something of hashivus. So he didn't necessarily mean to actually prevent himself from ever going into the guy's house or even having a drink over there. He just meant, you know, you're nudging me to eat by you, stop it already, you know. Now you could ask, so why should that be? Well, tipas tsoinen kama. Didn't he use the expression tipas tsoinen, a drop of cold water? Which, according to the two explanations in the Ran, either according to the first explanation, he mentions even a drop. That should be considered the equivalent of saying a sela plus a pruta, or a dinner minus a pruta, because he's getting down to the nitty-gritty details, and still the Mishnah is telling us it's not a valid neder. Or according to the second explanation, he's so far removed, tipat tsoinen is so far removed from what the other guy wanted to offer him, a whole meal with food and drink, and nevertheless we say it's not a neder as far as the tipat tsoinen. So either way, however, according to either of the explanations of the Ran, it comes out that yes, even in the case of where he says more than a sela, a pruta more than a sela, a dinner more than a sela, whatever, then it should be valid. It should be like our Mishnah. That's still one that's not valid, rather than nidre zeruzin, not a genuine neder.
That's why he's not drinking water.
So therefore, either that. So Elam Mishtoi in Ishochi. We see that people use such expressions. People use exaggerated expressions like that. I won't drink even a drop by you, where he doesn't really mean a drop. Hachanami Mishtoi in Ishochi. The same way, a person might well say a sela and a pruta, or he might say a sela and or he might say a sela plus a dinner, and the other one says a dinner minus a pruta, or two dinner minus a pruta, or even one dinner. And yet people, according to the two explanations in the Ran, and yet people will do that. Amalei, but Ravina says that's not a valid proof. Me dummy, how do you compare it? He says to Rav Ashi. Gabit Soinen, when it comes to the matter of, he says, I won't even drink a drop of cold water by you, you know what we say, Tzadikim Omi Ma'afo, he said, have it. The Tzadikim say a little and do a lot, like last week's parasha, Abraham says to the guest, I'll bring you a little bit of bread, pas lechem, and then he brings them out a whole feast. So in other words, Fakir, when Shimon is saying, Shimon, they think to himself, you know what, if I say to Reuben, fine, I'm willing to drink Tipas Soinen by you, then Reuben's going to bring him into his house, and then he's going to start putting a whole huge meal in front of him. And he didn't want that. Because after all, Reuven could be that type of tzaddik who's emu ma'afa asehade. So therefore you could say that when he said tipas tsoinen, he didn't really mean that he won't drink a drop of cold water. He just knows that if he says that he will drink tipas tsoinen, then Reuven is going to use that as an excuse to bring in lots and lots more. Hocha sveikahu, but over here the fact is, it is a suffix. Maybe he is willing, maybe Reuven, the seller, is willing to accept less than a seller. Maybe Shimon, the buyer, is willing to pay more than a shekel. So then, therefore, the Zeruzin habi, so it's only a Nidre Zeruzin, or Doma Davka Kamar, or maybe they said Davka, either because according to the Ran's first explanation, they mentioned even the Pruta, showing that they want that price and no different, not even different by Pruta, or according to the second explanation, because they started so far apart, five dinner versus one dinner, so maybe it should be considered Davka, the Nidre habi, and therefore it would be considered a real Neder. And the Gemara says, Tiboy, We leave the question open. Kiboy in Nedarim is like Teku in the rest of Shas, because as you said, Loshen Nedarim Mishuna, the Loshen Nedarim is unusual, so therefore the question is left open, and therefore the result is that you can't necessarily say whether it's Nidre Zeruzin. So in Shulchan Aruch it brings primarily according to the second explanation of the Ran that we're talking about, where they started very, very far apart. The fact that one of the Ran's first explanation, that we're just talking about a matter of prutus, the Shulchan Aruch said that you don't really have to worry about. If Reuven said, I'll sell it for a seller plus a pruta, and I won't tell, and a koinam if I sell it for anything less. And Shimon says, and Shimon offers a shekel, two dinarim, minus a pruta, and I won't go higher. Then we say that's not considered so far apart that we shouldn't consider it Nidre Zeruzin. But if they started at five dinarim and one dinner respectively, then already we can't be sure based on what we're saying that whether it's Nidre Zeruzin or a real Neder, and therefore if they end up selling it for something in between, then the Koinam would take effect on one or both sides because of the suffering. The Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Arban Nedarim Halalu. Now, we said in the Mishnah that these Nedarim, we said Arban Nedarim Hitiru Chachamim. So what does this Hitiru Chachamim mean exactly? So Amar of Yehuda, Amar of Asi. Amar Rav Asi. That's going to be significant because further down on the Amar, we're going to have Rabbi Asi. The Ran points out those are two different Amaroyim. But right now we have Rav Asi. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi. Arban Nedarim Halalu Tzrichin She'er Lachachamim. These four nedarim that we're talking about over here, you do need to ask a chacham. They're not automatically gone. So Rav Yehuda learned that from Rav Asi. But he says ki amrita kamei de Shmuel. When I told that over to Shmuel, he said, "How could that be?" He says, "Omar Tana Tani Abba Nedarim Tiru Chachamim." The Tana is saying the Chachamim were matter for Nedarim, implying that these Nedarim are not chal at all. But at Amit Srichin Sheila Chacham, you're telling me in Rav Asi's name that you need Sheila, you still need to ask the Rav to be matter Neder. How could that be? What's the logic? Now, in fact, there are Rishonim who say there's a Tosfos elsewhere that says that maybe Rav Asi means they require She'ela Midrabanan. The Mishnah is telling us the basic Din Daraisa that they're not Chal, but Midrabanan you'd need She'ela. And then we have the distinction that we said before that maybe there's a distinction. Actually, the Ritva says this, that there's a difference between an Amma Oretz and a Taman Chacham. The same way as we learned in the previous parak, that you have certain Nedarim where if an Amma Oretz makes them, we're more machna on him because Amma Oretz are more careless with Nedarim and because they don't understand the distinction between valid and invalid Nedarim. So Rav Asi's din might have been regarding an Amma Oretz, whereas the Mishnah, when it says that they don't need She'ela, that the Mutarim would be for a Talmud Chacham. But still, Shmuel doesn't like that distinction either because it says the fact is the Mishnah is not making any such distinction. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Masnil Ahoshmaita Bahai Lishna. Now, Rav Yosef had a different version of how this discussion went. So the first version we just had, Rav Asi had said that even these four Nedarim require She'ela, and Shmuel argued with that. Now, another version, Rav Yosef says, Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav Asi, Ein Chocham Rashoi Lahatir, when a Chocham is being Matir a Neder, he can only be Matir Elaka Ein Arba Nedarim Halal. It has to be something similar to these four Nedarim. Now, of course, you have the regular kind of Neder, where a person did sincerely intend to make the Neder. Now we're going to get into the whole matter of what grounds can you use for Ataras Nedarim. So we touched on this in the previous Perek. There's going to be more, so now we're going to have the main discussion about it. Like this, when a person is Matir Neder, you have two different ways. They're called Charota and Pesach. Charata is that the person says, I regret that I ever made this neder in the first place. I never would have made this neder in the first place the Gemara is going to say soon, for example, if I was in my right mind, for example. That's called Charata. The Ran and all the other Rishonim point out over here, when you're using Charot, even if now we're going to have many different opinions of Tanoim, of Amiroim over here, or Tanoim and Amiroim, whether Charot is a valid basis for being Matar and Neder. We're going to have some opinions that say that not. That's what Rav Asi means. Charota is not a valid basis for a neder, for being matur and neder at all. You need Pesach. But even if we say that charota is valid, the Ran points out, everybody would agree, the charota has to be that he means that I regret that I ever made the neder in the first place. Not until now I was fine with it, but now I regret it. And this is why in the Nusach of Ataras Nedarim that we say on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we say the line, B'cholim is charatna b'hoin me'ikorah. I regret them from the beginning, retroactively. Because if he just said b'cholin is charatna and not me'ikara, that wouldn't be a valid charatna. So anyway, that's one mechanism of being matur neder, and we're going to see in the Gemara that whether you can use charatna as a basis for being matur neder is going to be a machlokes tanoim and amaroim. Then you have Pesach, which is, a Pesach is that you find a side effect of the neder that the person didn't realize. So in other words, he's saying, I would have made this neder, but I didn't realize that I made this neder, and I'm fine with having made it, but I didn't realize that it has such and such a side effect. So that, everybody agrees, is a valid basis for being matur neder. In Shulchan Aruch, actually, it mentions that nowadays, what the minhag eventually developed, that you make when the person comes with charota, we use the charota itself as a Pesach. We say to him, basically, if you knew when you made this neder that eventually you're going to come to regret it, would you have made the neder? So like we're almost combining Pesach and Charata together. So going back to the Gemara. So now, when Rav Asi is saying, in Rav Yosef's version, Ein chocham rashoi lahatu, ela ke'en na'abon adorim alolu, that a chacham can be matur neder only if it's similar to these four nedarim. Now let's consider, with these four nedarim, there's no charotah. The person doesn't regret having said in the first place that I'm only going to sell this for four dinarim for a seller. Rather, we're saying that's a Pesach. A Pesach in effect means that it was that the neder was a toast to begin with. When we use a Pesach to be matir and neder, in effect we're saying that he didn't realize when he made the neder the full import of what the consequences of this neder are going to be. So therefore, it's like we're saying that the neder to begin with was all batos. Charota is more. So that's the thing. Charota, even though he's saying I regret it to begin with, it's not meaning neder batos. He's saying that I regret that I ever made it, but at the time when I made it, I had every intention that I'm gonna do it. So therefore, Pesach is more like a matter, is more like a toast, and therefore, that's how the Ran explains, Rav Asi, in effect, is saying that to be matur and neder, you have to establish the neder to begin with was a toast, was a mistake. And the way to do that is with a Pesach rather than with Charot. So therefore, in other words, the Gemara says, So therefore, it means that Rav Asi is saying you cannot be matur the neder on the basis of charota. You need a Pesach rather.
Pesach is better.
A Pesach is better. That's what we're saying, because a Pesach means, in other words, he didn't know fully what the consequences are going to be when he made the neder. He didn't realize everything that's going to flow from it. So therefore, it's more like a toast. Charota is more saying that, you know what, I made the neder to begin with because I was angry or I was over hasty or whatever. So Rav Asi is saying that's not considered enough of a toast for us to be able to be matzah the neder. There are actually the Rashba brings from the Gaonim actually that, and Tosfos Rid also that, when we say that according to Rav Asi and according to various Tanoim and Amoraim that we're going to mention, you can't use Charata, we mean if the person himself, if the Chacham is trying to get the person to be Matur Neder and he wants to use Charata as a basis for that, you can't do that. But the Gaonim say, if the person himself comes voluntarily to Beis Din and says, Me'ata ani mischaret, then maybe that would be valid. Maybe even according to Rav Asi, such a thing could work. But anyway, many Rishonim don't agree with that. They say that when the Gemara says, when Rav Asi says you can't use Charata, means across the board. You have to use Pesach. So the Gemara gives some examples. There was a person who came to Rav Huna having made a neder. Now we're going to say that Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Asi. Omele libach aloch. So Rav Huna asks him, was your heart on you? Which means the Ram says two possibilities. Number one, it means, were you calm and collected and you knew what you were doing when you made your neder? And now, even now, you don't regret the neder, me'ikara, you just want from now on, you want to be matter it, which even we said, even if we said, charata is good, that's not a valid charata, that's the charata me'ikara. Or the second explanation, or was it maybe that you made the neder to begin with when you were angry, and now you regret that you ever did it in the first place? That's the Ran's first explanation. The second explanation of libach aloch is the other way around. Do you still have the same, the other way kind of, the heart, the thought that you had when you made the neder, do you still have that same thought, that same way of thinking right now? Namely, in other words, again, that you would like the neder to have been in effect until now. You just don't want it to be in effect for the future. Or are you thinking differently than you did then, where now you're being mischarit neikara, you're being mischarit from the beginning? So those are the two explanations. So it's kind of, they in a way, they kind of both amount to the same thing, but they're different ways of understanding the words libach aloch. Did you have your heart was in your full control when you made the neder? Or the other explanation is, right now is your heart in sync with how it was then? Anyway, omalei loy. So he says no. So he says, in other words, when I made the neder, I was not calm, and now I'm mischaret meikara. I'm regretting that I ever made the neder. V'shaye. And so on that basis, Rav Huna was able to be matir the neder, which shows that Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Asi. We said Rav Asi says you cannot use charata, and now we see that Rav Huna says you could. So therefore, so it's machlokas between them whether you can or not. So here is where the Ran says from this little story is the proof that you have to have charata meikara, because after all, the guy is coming to Rav Huna. He obviously wants to be matir neder. If we were to say that a charata from now on is a valid charata, then Rav Huna doesn't have to ask him anything. The very fact that he's coming to be matir neder shows that he doesn't want the neder anymore. The fact that Rav Huna has to ask him, libach aloch, implying, in other words, are you mischaret meikara, shows that that's how it has to be. If the guy were to say, no, when I made the neder, I was calm and collected, and I made the neder knowing what I was doing, but now, afterwards, I regret, from now on, I want it to be canceled, then Rav Huna would tell him, I'm sorry, we can't do anything with that. Other examples, a person came to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna with a neder. Omale, so Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says, suppose that there were 10 people at the time you made the neder, who would have calmed you down, who would have told you that it's not a good idea to make the neder, would you have made the neder? Mina Dauta, would you have made the neder? So he says no, but he tiroi, and he was able to be matur neder. So now the Ran explains this kind of thing with the 10 people is actually kind of in between. It's halfway between Pesach and Charata. Because the fact is, there weren't 10 people over there. There weren't 10 people over there when he made the neder. Not only weren't there right now, even now when he's coming to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, there aren't 10 people right now over there. So therefore, you can't really say that's a Pesach. If you actually had 10 people show up over there and they're telling him, you know what, you should be matir this neder, then we could call that a valid Pesach. He could say, you know, when I made the neder, it didn't occur to me that such a thing might happen. Worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection, we are going to talk about later in the Masechta, something called Noilad. When you have something that's completely unexpected, completely out of left field, that happens, according to most Tanoyim, we're going to say that's not a valid basis for being Matur and Neder. But something like that, you should have 10 people to talk him out of it, that's a common enough possibility that he might have had such a thing in mind.
So in other words, if there would be 10 people
there. So in other words, if there would be 10 people up there, that would be a valid basis for a Pesach. But the fact is, we don't have 10 people here right now.
Why is that in itself a Pesach? Because even the 10 people are not there, but
Right, but that's the point. Right now, that's what the Rana is saying. If there were actually 10 people there right now, that would be a valid Pesach. You know, did you realize when you made the Neder that you might eventually have 10 people over there coming and pleading with you to be Matir Neder? Here, you don't actually have 10 people over there. Therefore, the Rana says it's not a true Pesach. On the other hand, it is better than Charotah. Because after all, Charotah is, the person is not saying that there's a reason why I wouldn't have made the Neder at that time. He was saying that he was saying that if they had told him at the time he made a Neder, he was angry or he was upset or whatever at the time, which is why he made the Neder. If he had had 10 people to tell him, to talk him out of it, he might not have made the Neder. So therefore, in a way, it's better than a regular Charotah. So he was mad to him. The Ran brings two different Gersois over here, actually. So in the Gemara over here, we don't have whether that shows. So what does that show? What do we derive from the story of Rabbi Bar Avunah? So the Ran explains there are actually different Gersois. It's also in the newer Gemara on the side, and Agos Tzionim. There's a Gersa that says, we learn from this that Poischen Bacharata, and a different Gersa that we learn from this that Ein Poischen Bacharata. So the Ran says, really, both of them amount to the same thing. It means we learn from this story. Rabbi Bar Avunah would say, that a plain charata without the matter of the 10 people, if the person himself is saying, I regret that I ever made this neder, that wouldn't be good enough. But because you need something stronger than just charata. But on the other hand, if we say the Gersa is poiskin b'charata, it means you don't need a full-fledged Pesach. Like in this case, you don't have a full-fledged Pesach because you don't actually have 10 people over there, but rather a semi-Pesach, which is better than a regular charata, is good enough. So in other words, Rabbi Bar Avunah would be taking sort of a middle ground between Rav Asi and Rav Huna. Rav Huna would say that any kind of charata is good. Rav Asi would say that you need a Pesach, no charata at all. And Rabbi Bar Avunah would say he's saying something in between. Just charata is not enough, but a charata plus, like in this case, would be good enough. On the other hand, that's all how the Ran thinks. The Rosh says that no, that actually, the Rosh says that this would be considered a real full-fledged Pesach, because even though we don't have the 10 people there right now, it's not that hard to get 10 people for that purpose. So therefore, actually, he doesn't spell that out, but whatever. He says it's considered a full-fledged Pesach. In other words, it's normal. In other words, says the Ran, that a person's relatives and his friends or whatever should object to what he says, such that it's not that far fetched that 10 people might tell him, you know what, that was a really dumb idea to do, and therefore that can be considered a real Pesach. And in other words, we would see from this little story over here that Rabbi Bar Avunah holds like Rav Asi and not like his own father, Rav Huna, that you need a Pesach, not Charot. That's how. So again, the Ran learns that this story is sort of something in between Pesach and Charata, and the Rosh holds it's full fledged Pesach, and we see that Rabbi Bar Avunah is requiring that. The Gemara continues that actually you have Tanya. The Gemara says we have a Braisa where we see this is a Machlokes Tanoim. This is another one of those Loshen Nedarim Meshuna. Usually, the expression in the Gemara at this point would be Katanoim. This argument of the Amoraim is like a Machlokes Tanoim. Here, the Gemara doesn't say that. Anyway, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amar. We say to the person, is your heart on you? Which is the two explanations of the Ran before. Either was your heart with you when you first made the Neder, or were you upset and you weren't thinking straight, or now do you still have the same mentality that you did then? So according to him then, And if he says that not, that I'm mischaret mafreya, then we can be matir him. So that would be like Rav Huna. That you can use charata. So Rav Yehuda would be like Rav Huna. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi says in the name of his father, Rabbi Yosi, no, oimim loy la'odom, we say to the person, ilu hoyu asar b'nei odom, sheif ha'sucha ba'os ha'shah, if there had been 10 people over there to talk you out of it at the time, mina da'uta, would you have made the nether? Im amalav, matir anoysen, if he says no, then we can be matir him. So that would be like Rav Asi and possibly like Rabbi Bar Avuna, who say that you need a Pesach, or at least you need something stronger than Charata. Okay, the Gemara continues. Simon Asi ve'alazo yoichanan v'yanai. So now we have a simon of four Amoroyim involving cases of Atoras Nedarim and things that they use to initiate the conversation and to see about doing the Hatorah. So the first one is, Hahuda Osla Kamejra Asi. A person came to Rabbi Asi. Now again, before we had Rav Asi, who held that you need Pesach specifically. Now we have Rabbi Asi. Rav Asi was an early Amora. We said before he was in the times of Rav and Shmuel. He was in Babel. Rabbi Asi was originally from Babel also, but he lived most of his life in Eretz Yisrael. You have throughout Shas, Rav Ami and Rav Asi. That's the Rav Asi that we're talking about over here. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He had smicha, which is why he's called Rabbi Asi. In general, the rule is anybody who got smicha is Rabbi. Anybody who didn't is Rav. There are people who say, by the way, based on Kisei Yad and whatever, that maybe his name was actually not even Asi with a Samach, but Isai with a Sof, which is a name that you find in Tanakh among one of David's warriors. So maybe that was actually his name, and over the centuries, the Sof got changed into a Samach. Whatever, anyway. So a person came to Rav Asi with a neder, Amalek Keduta Hisa. So Rav Asi asked him, now are you regretting? In other words, he's asking whether you charab tohista meloshin toya al rishonis. He's regretting that he ever did. That he's regretting that he ever did it. Amalei loy. So the man answers. The man answers with a rhetorical question. No, meaning of course. Vishariye. So Rav Asi was matter the neder on that basis because he holds that toischin b'charata. So now, Rav Asi held you can't, but Rabbi Asi, being a different Amora, is able to disagree and hold that Charata is good enough. Another example, Ahuda also the Kamed Rav Elazar, a man came to Rav Elazar with a neder, Amalei Bois Neder. So he asked him, do you want your neder? Meaning, are you happy with the fact that you had the neder until now, and just you're being mischaret from now on? In that case, we said before, that's no good, it has to be Charata Meikra. So the man answers, Ilulai Magazin me. If people hadn't made me upset, Loiba in and Klum, then I wouldn't have wanted anything in the first place. In other words, the whole reason why I made the neder was because I was angry. Now that I calmed down, then I'm the scharet meikara. Omalay tehei kabois. So Rabbi Elazar tells him, fine, let it be as you wish. Fine, you want then that the neder should be mutter because you didn't have, because to begin with, you only made it out of anger. Good, let it be like you want. In other words, that the neder is mutter. On the other hand, the Mefarish over here printed under Rashi's name explains it a little differently. He does hold that in poischen b'charata. He does hold charata is not valid, but he's saying because you didn't accept it to begin with, then therefore it's more like the nidre zeruzin or something from our Mishnah. Because the same way as in our Mishnah, we say the person didn't sincerely intend to make the neder. The same way over here, he's saying that I only made the neder out of anger, and therefore it's more like nidre zeruzin. So in other words, according to that, Rabbi Elazar might hold that charata is not good enough. The Ram's explanation is we're saying he's asking him on the basis of charata. The Mefarish's explanation is we're saying it's not a matter of charata, it's a matter of that we see that he didn't really intend to make the neder in the first place. And then there's a third explanation from Rabbeinu Avraham Min Ahar, who says that he's saying, listen, if they don't make me angry, then I don't want the neder anymore. But if they keep on provoking me, then yes, I do want the neder. So then Rabbi Elazar says, okay, well, listen, then you don't have a complete charata, so we can't tehei. So he says to him, tehei kabois, let it be like you want, meaning, in other words, you haven't completely had a charata, and therefore the neder is still in effect. A third example, hahi itza da'adarta librata. There was a woman who made a neder that her daughter should not be allowed to have anav. Asoi lechamed Rabbi Yechanan, later on she came to Rabbi Yechanan about this. Amalei, and Rabbi Yechanan tells her, ilu hava yadet, if you had known when you made the neder, the amrin megirosach aloch, that your neighbors, megirosach is the Aramaic word for neighbors, that your neighbors would say about you, would say Allah de brata, would say regarding your daughter, ilu lechomas ba'ima milan da aziva, if her mother had not seen in her things of aziva, things that make her deserve to be abandoned, in other words, things that she did very wrong, or the Rosh says things the Rosh says also similarly, it means dvarim mechu'arim, ugly things that make her deserve to be abandoned, the Mefarish says it means things that are best left unsaid, meaning things of znus. If her mother hadn't seen her doing such things, bichdi lo yadarta, she wouldn't have put her under a neder to not have enough or for nothing. So in other words, your neighbors are going to say about your daughter, she must have done something really terrible for her mother to put her such a neder. If you would realize that, the Rabbi Yochanan says to the mother, miyadauta, would you have put her under a neder? Amr lay loy. So she says, no, I didn't realize that. Vishalya, and therefore he was matir her. So that's an example of a pesach rather than charot. It's not that she was mischadat that she ever made the neder. At the time, she had valid reason to make the neder, but she didn't realize the consequences that the neighbors are going to jump to conclusions about what her daughter must have done. Therefore, that's a pesach. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds you need a pesach. Charot is not good enough. And we'll leave the fourth example, the fourth one in the siman was Yanai, but we'll leave that for tomorrow because that one is going to be a little more of an involved discussion. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, on the subject of Psochim and Charotis and what is and isn't a valid Pesach. Thank you, everyone.